For federal contractors, sequestration is like bad weather. Cursing it won't change it, but they have to deal with it, and many have. They've cut overhead, reevaluated staff, and made sure to remind their government customers when they've done a good job. In this segment of our special series, The Private Side of Sequestration, we turn to Michael Tinsley, CEO of Neo Systems. His company provides financial services to federal contractors. Michael, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me. Nice to be with you again.
So what are some of the best internal practices for contractors that they can do, again, inside, facing times like these?
Well, as you said at the introduction there, a lot of the contractors are already working to reduce their spending, and that's particularly true within their G&A pools, their general administrative costs, because as they're dealing with sequestration and many of them are dealing with furloughs, that's translating into an increase into their overhead expenses. And so they have to offset that cost increase in some way so that their total cost doesn't go higher than it should be. And so they're many times they're responding by trying to make cuts in their G&A rate through added efficiencies and things of that nature. So, you know, that's one of the ways that the contractors are coping with the effect of sequestration.
And Michael, overall, with the people that you know, with the companies that you know, how drastically have they had to change their business practices because of this?
Well, I would say it is fairly drastic, to be honest. I mean, most, maybe I shouldn't say most, a large number of our contractors, our clients, are experiencing furloughs. So that is the most common impact so far, the sequestration. And, you know, that is, as I said earlier, that's causing an increase in their overhead rates, which then cause them to be less competitive when they're trying to win new work. So, you know, it's a very difficult thing for them to respond to, but, you know, most of them are doing it in that way, by trying to make decreases in their G&A rates.
But, Michael, what do you make of the fact that, you know, say Lockheed Martin, the biggest contractor, you know, it had a banner quarter. It announced good, higher than expected revenue for the past quarter compared to a year earlier.
Well, I'm not sure, you know, what would account for that. I'm not sure if there's acquisition activities that might have helped them achieve the results that they did. But I do know across our contract base, which is primarily made up of small to medium-sized contractors, there's definitely been an impact. It's not dire. But it has definitely led to stagnation. There's very little growth going on right now just because of the lack of new contract awards. And like I said earlier, the furloughs are causing a decrease in the revenue activity that they have on existing contracts. So it is in stark contrast to, you know, the results that you just quoted.
Now, we spoke with a company yesterday that said that because of dropping revenues, they had to let go of their full-time business development person. Have you seen that happening much? Because it would seem that would be cutting off the future opportunities to get rid of business development.
Well, it is a catch-22. The business development activities do land when you go through all the government regulations. That's a cost that usually resides in the G&A pool that I was referring to earlier, which contractors are trying to reduce to cope with their forced increase in overhead rates. So that is one strategy, is to reduce the amount that you're investing in business development. I wouldn't go so far as to, you know, encourage someone to drop their biz dev team or lead person. But what they should do is try to be very much focused on which opportunities they go after, so that the dollars that they're able to spend in business development, you know, have a much higher chance of getting success than they might have had in the past, where, you know, if you see an opportunity that you have even half a chance of winning, you would probably go after it. Now you need to be much more focused and spend your business development dollars more wisely.
Put another way, are you saying people should be more risk adverse, take less chances?
Yes, I would say take less chances, you know, because, like I said, you could be more aggressive in the past and go after opportunities that would represent an expansion of your business, but you might not have a great chance of winning it. And now you really need to stay away from that just so you can control your business development spending.
And just a sidebar question. Over the years, many of the associations and government groups, that the types of groups that we have subject matter kind of consonants together, IT or accounting, that kind of thing, often attract a lot of vendors, and it's usually the business development people that get involved in these associations and do most of the work for them. Is that a worthwhile activity to work with the volunteer groups that serve government and government interests as a way of indirectly helping your business development?
Well, it absolutely is. I mean, many of those types of organizations are the voice to Congress. And to the extent that Congress needs to be aware, you know, of the actual business impacts that sequestration or any other government action or initiative might have, you know, they need to hear from the public on those things. And they need to hear in a way that is expressed coherently and really in business terms. And those organizations that you just mentioned are a very good way of doing that. So, yes, I would encourage companies to participate in those types of organizations because it's a way for them to be represented, you know, amongst Congress, basically.
We're speaking with Michael Tinsley, the president and CEO of Neo Systems. His company provides financial services to federal contractors. So is this more of a just sort of a survival and period that companies that you work with think they have to wait out? Because it doesn't really seem like a small company can even establish itself or grow when it has these circumstances that you've described.
Well, it is a difficult time. You know, there's no way around that. But there are still a lot of opportunities within the government, even with the effects of sequestration. So, you know, I don't think that companies should look at this as, you know, a dire situation. It's just a challenging situation. And we've been in these types of situations before. And those contractors that are adept in managing their companies and have good business development strategies that may not even entail government, you know, will be able to survive it. So,
and that's a key thing, considering that we're hearing that sequestration could be a multi-year thing.
Yes, I think we've come to expect the worst, if you will. So contractors really do have to be ready and on their game so that they can react to what's going to happen and try to grow their businesses in different ways.
What can they do externally? We talked about working with the associations, but in dealing directly with the government, of course, you can't take people to lunch and football games and so forth. But what about touting the success you've had in some of those types of activities to try to enhance your posture in the eyes of your government customer?
Yeah, you absolutely have to do that because you have to make your customer aware of the successes that you've had. And try to keep your company at the top of mind, if you will, as they're going through and assessing their programs and the contracts, you know, for determining how they need to implement the ordered sequestration. So, you know, having your company be resident in their memory, if you will, of having performed well and been successful is very important. So your business development people can help achieve those types of interactions with the customer. Those who are on the ground performing the work that you do can do that as well. So you need to make sure that your workforce is aware of the importance of expressing your success to your customer.
And what do you do when that customer is a weakened version of itself, coping with furloughs and budget cuts and the like?
Well, you have to deal with that, of course, but still that customer is a viable customer. You know, our clients have had few instances so far where contracts have been terminated. The more common experience is the furlough. So there's still business coming. So it's still important to have those relationships with those customers, even though they may be in a weakened position, if you will.
So it sounds like a time where you really need to keep your ears and eyes right on the ground as much as possible.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
And what about the procrastination? You mentioned in one published piece that you had that the government itself is procrastinating because of furloughs, and so there might even be RFQs out or RFPs, and yet the awards are late, or when the awards are made, the ordering is late.
Yes, that's another predominant problem across our client base as well, where there's been a big slowdown in contract awards. We're coming up on a time of year here where we're nearing the government's fiscal year end, which is September 30th. So generally in this time frame, we see an increase in contract awards. But in this scenario, you know, the contract awards have been slowed down to just a trickle. We have seen, you know, a little bit of an increase here at the tail end of July. So we're hopeful that that will, you know, continue throughout the rest of their fiscal year, August and September. But we're not that optimistic because of, you know, the effect of where things stand in Congress.
All right. Well, we'll leave it on that note of uncertainty. Michael Tinsley is CEO of Neo Systems, and thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.